You're listening to Bands and Botanicals, a unique podcast where trainer and trainee discuss fitness, herbalism, and healthy habits for life. We're your hosts. I'm Paula Kirsch, owner of Botanically Curious and artisan herbalist.
And my name is Danielle Kreese, certified personal trainer and owner of DC Fit. Now, before we get started, if you could do us a brief favor and go to Apple Podcasts and just leave us a review, we'd love to hear from you. And with that being said, let's start the show.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back.
Yeah. So how are you doing, Danielle?
I am very tired, but doing great because last night was our first night with our puppy.
Yes.
So there were frequent and long moments of waking up, and all I could think about was that episode with Tanessa. And I was like, I am losing so much sleep. And actually, I was thinking about today's episode too, because we're talking about recovery and sleep plays a role in that. So I was thinking all the things, but also just wanting to sleep, but also wanting to make sure that she didn't pee everywhere. But yeah, we have a Bernese Weimaraner poodle. Don't ask me how that happened.
She's adorable.
It was an accident. That's how that happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, how are you doing today, Paula?
Good. I did a little cleaning and found my botanical cards that we lost a while ago. They just like disappeared.
Yeah, you may have noticed we kind of stopped.
Yeah, and I was like frantically looking forever for them, and I thought that they were going to be lost forever, and so I ordered some new ones online, which never came, incidentally. I don't know what happened to that. And finally found them. So I picked a card for today, and we've got the blackberry. And it is almost kind of blackberry season. We're starting to see here in the valley the greenery really grow into these big brambles.
Flowers are starting to come out. Things are starting to form. Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm going to do some blackberry tea.
Mm-hmm.
But the adapting aspect of this is it can really grow in any terrain, which for a lot of people, they think that's more invasive than anything else. And so a lot of the time, blackberries are looked at as an invasive species, but they provide so much shelter and food for bees and birds and moths and other animals that, you know, it's really important part of our ecosystem. And then just to realize, you know, when we're talking about inflammation, recovery, all of those things, and your health and wellness, there needs to be that.
Yeah, I mean, that goes, that adapting kind of, at least in the fitness aspect of things, goes kind of two ways, because, you know, we've talked about progressively adding loads. We've talked about bringing in unstable surfaces, and we've talked about doing those things in order to force the body to adapt, because you can't always stay doing the same thing because then your body will never change. But that being said, also with recovery, which is what we will focus on today, you have to learn to adapt and listen to where your body is that day. You know, there have been times that I wanted to wake up and do, let's say, like a leg workout, and I couldn't.
Right.
This was a little bit before, and we'll talk about, you know, how even the way you get sore adapts and changes as you continue your journey. So this was kind of, you know, a while ago, but I've had to, you know, completely change things. Or if Paula's come in and felt, you know, had a really, really awful sleep, or maybe, you know, something started acting up, something in her lower back started acting up, or her shoulder, you know, it's kind of learning to adapt to those moves. So adapting and listening to your body in so many different ways, and with the herbs and with the environment, I guess, around us.
Yeah. And so for those who might be new to listening to the podcast, or maybe you started listening, but you've been picking and choosing, you know, which episodes to listen to, the series of Danielle and I, we've had some guests on the show and things, which kind of don't necessarily go in the series order. But if you're wanting to start from the beginning and listen to all the episodes of just Danielle and I talking about something, which you'll easily be able to figure out because it will have the title with the guest, if there is a guest. And so if you want to just listen to Danielle and I, skip over the ones with the guests, and you'll see that it's really a continuation or a series of her and I talking about these things. So some of the things that I'll be mentioning today with inflammation and recovery and some of those really goes back to episodes about energetics and some of those other things, and formulating herbs that will make more sense if you listen to those episodes as well.
And you know, even if you do start to hear similar things, if you do go through our episodes and you start to hear similar themes or reiterations of things, that's for a reason. That's because those things should be reiterated, and you know, I feel like we are trying to change a certain narrative with things. So that repetition is for a reason. It's because it works, or it's because it's kind of, you know, something that, whether it's the herbal perspective or the fitness perspective, is becoming like really prominent and stuff. So take those things that you continuously hear and those tidbits, like really try to store them in your memory or write them down somewhere, because like I said, they're repeated for a reason.
Yeah.
So we are going to go ahead and get started. Hopefully the pupper stays sleeping for the duration of this. We'll see how it goes. So talking about recovery. Now, this is one of those things that you've heard me say before in a podcast. Exercise is stress to the body. Mm-hmm. Even if that's good stress, you know, opposed to something that is causing a lot of turmoil within the body, that your body does have physical reactions to. This is a good stress, but it is stress nonetheless. So exercise is stress, specifically called a eustress, and this is beneficial. It's distressing at the moment, but it provides long-lasting physical and psychological benefits, which if you have, you know, entered a program of any duration, I'm sure you started to feel and notice those things in yourself. But you may have also started to notice aches here, some pains here, you know, really intense soreness. So that's where that stress, we have to kind of work with it, and we have to learn to adapt, and we have to learn to recover. So one thing that I notice with people, and especially when they start their fitness, is that they want to go balls to the wall. Mm-hmm. I mean, so many times, especially at big gyms, I've noticed people try to go every single day. It's almost like wearing a badge of honor. Mm-hmm. If you could go 7 days a week, or if you could do 7 days a week and then some of those days are doubles, ooh, then you're like really, really badass. Mm-hmm. But it's almost counterintuitive to what you're trying to achieve. And there was this quote that I read yesterday when I was doing a little bit of reading, and I got my certification through NASM, and this was a NASM educator. And he said that training is when you're setting the stage for the potential for gain, but they only happen when you also create an environment for healing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. And I think that that last part and that first part is really important. Like when you are, if you break that down, what he's trying to say is that when you are in the workout, when you are doing those contractions, those eccentric movements, those isometric holds, when you're in the actual like meat of it, you're setting yourself up for the gains. But those gains come when you heal, because what happens is that when you're exercising, the stress of exercise, all those contractions create little micro tears in the soft tissue, specifically the muscles. And this could lead to soreness and pain. So this is kind of what you feel. But if you don't ever give back to those small tears, and they don't ever have that a moment to, or that ability to recover, then you can also be inhibiting the muscle's ability to replenish glycogen. Mm-hmm. And glycogen is just the stored form of glucose, which is where we get and derive a lot of our energy from. And if this happens, you know, you could also start building more lactic acid in the muscle. So you may hear that word thrown out a lot with trainers, like foam roll to, you know, try to break up some of that lactic acid. Or even if you're really sore, go for a walk, because it'll start moving that lactic acid around. Because when it's left to just sit in the muscle, it can lead to increased soreness more than what you're already feeling. So that's called DOMS, which is delayed onset muscle soreness. So that may come maybe the next day, but more than likely, you're really going to feel the peak of that soreness 2 or 3 days after your workout. And that's because you didn't do anything after to kind of move that acid around. So it just stayed in the muscles and didn't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. And this could also impair the electrical stimulus, which you need in order to contract your muscles. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you may feel, or you may hear trainers say, activate or engage your muscles.
Right.
That is, you know, part of that contraction. You have to kind of be able to squeeze that muscle yourself and get a response. So if you are having something within the body that's impairing that, then how are you going to get to those gains that you're looking for? Mm-hmm. So you're basically putting in all of this effort, but you're not going to get the same results because you're not giving the body any time to like process that effort.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I've said this 1,000 times, sometimes there is that you have to create that discipline of rest, mm-hmm. as much as you have to create a discipline of movement. And, you know, for me, Like this past weekend on Saturday, I did yoga. So it was kind of like an active recovery day for me. And then Sunday, I did a lot of sun tanning. Not gonna lie, I'm prepping myself for Miami. I'm going this week to see my family. And I had to go looking right, you know? But I didn't feel bad for it. And I knew that it was important because I knew that on Monday, I was gonna go really hard in my workout. So I had to give my body that time. And you need to create that space to heal. And so that the muscle, not only will these micro tears have that space to heal, mm-hmm. but with that, your muscle starts to adapt to the stress so it can handle it better the next time. Right. And that's why, you know, like, think about even Paula, mm-hmm. when we've been doing like a new move or something, and that first set right. feels really weird sometimes, yeah. or you're kind of learning how to flow with it or how to activate the muscles. Mm-hmm. And then already within the second set that you do it or the second round, you start to move into it a little more confidently, right? Like, have you experienced that?
Yeah.
In our workouts?
It's definitely, you know, getting the stability and the muscle memory and realizing where you're supposed to be engaging what. And then, yeah, it's an easier flow afterwards.
So that's that adaptation that you can notice in real time. Mm-hmm. But when you can see that, you know, the next time you do it or the time after that, you could last a little bit longer. You could go just that slightly bit heavier. That's that long-term adaptation. That's where you're getting those gains, is when you start to notice those changes. So create that space for healing. That's what I gotta say.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the fact that, you know, we've been talking about this a little bit. Some of our guests have been talking about this. And then we're going to be doing an event July 11th, which is coming up here pretty quickly,
mm-hmm.
With Peter, who was just on the show.
Time just flies by.
And yeah, and you know, the kettlebell workout and how well that is, you know, for the body. And then talking about the recovery of that, because it is something new and new sort of movement for people.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're talking about recovery, a lot of the time we think about inflammation, and mm-hmm. that is like such a scary word for people. And it's such a buzzword. And we've talked about inflammation before and herbs that are anti-inflammatory and all of these things. And for the class that we're going to be teaching, after we do the kettlebells with Peter, I'm going to be going into how to really formulate your own herbal teas and things recovery. And so we're going to be talking about like the goals that you actually want, like what goal is this herb going to serve, the actions and properties of those herbs. Now, we've talked about before on the podcast, like energetic. So you're going to want to think about that, the root of where this is affecting you in the body, the energetics of the herb, and then your natural state of your body. So the energetics of yourself. I'll go into detail a little bit more about that, how that plays into inflammation here in just a second, you know, the state of that injury. A lot of herbalism is chemistry. There's a lot of science behind herbalism if you get into it. And so I'm not going to say that I'm dumbing it down for anybody, but I'm going to make it interesting without diving into, you know, the elemental tables and talking about all of those things and the, you know, polarized aspects of, you know, the different herbs that we'll take and how that works in the body. I'm just going to try to keep it simple for everybody because I want people to start incorporating these herbs. Like I said before, mm-hmm. I don't want people to be armchair herbalists where they're listening to the podcast. They listen and then they go out and they just buy a supplement or something because they think that they said it was good for inflammation. So that's what I need right now. You know, it's really looking at those things because when you think about it from an experiential standpoint and you're actually smelling the herb and tasting the herb and steeping it in water and then seeing how it plays into your body, you're going to be able to remember and recall that herb better. You know, it's going to help facilitate that long-term memory, which is really what we're trying to do with these types of events, mm-hmm. is get you hands-on in choosing that and especially choosing the herbs, because the first thing people might do after listening to the podcast is Google one of the herbs that I, you know, and say, okay, what does this do? Awesome. This is what it does. So I need anti-inflammatory, so I'm going to take this herb. Well, if you started researching some of that and that's the route you've gone, you've realized that almost everything says anti-inflammatory on it. And so it's like, how do you choose the right herb? When do you incorporate those herbs and why? And so that's what I'm going to kind of go over here in just a little bit, because we've got like antispasmodic herbs. We've got, you know, rubefacient herbs. So that's like more of a circulatory thing. We've got adaptogens, what we've talked about. So it's like what, you know, are anodynes, which is more of a pain reliever. So where exactly in the body do you need that support? and why? Because anti-inflammatory is a generalized label, but there's a lot more to the label than that. And there's a lot more to rebuilding the body, because inflammation is necessary, just like stress is necessary. Mm-hmm. It's really when you start seeing issues in the body that arise from stagnation of fluid, like you mentioned, or maybe a too long of a burn within the body when you're not taking those rest days. And then that's more chronic inflammation. That's where you really have to be worried and really pay attention to your body.
It's such a real way to garner feedback from our body, right? Like mm-hmm. there's so many things that are happening inside that we can't see, that we can't really respond to.
Right.
But inflammation is your body telling you something. Mm-hmm. You can't just like lace up your shoes tighter and keep going. Like your right. body is trying to tell you that there's something going on. So inflammation is like a direct message.
Yeah. And then the other thing is you want to time your anti-inflammatory herbs correctly. This is one thing that we haven't talked about before, because it's such a vast concept and conversation that can happen that we really have to break it up, because we only do, you know, hour long podcasts. And so really timing where and when you're putting those, because like I said, you start looking at this and all of a sudden there's this reaction of, I want all these herbs. These mm-hmm. all sound amazing. But not all herbs are created equally. And so when you don't know where to start, you know, what does that look like? Right.
Yes.
And so, like I said, energetics, what is your body like in its natural state? We've already discussed that I'm more of like a warm, kind of damp or wet. Danielle's probably more of a dry, cold most of the time, you know, things like that.
I feel like I'm everything.
But when you work out constantly, especially if you're trying to start a new regimen, you're trying to do this in a way where you're not taking a lot of Advil, you're not taking a mm-hmm. bunch of supplements that you don't know what the filler is. So you're like, great, herbs are going to be where I go. You know, you look at inflammation in the body and the different types. So hot and dry inflammation. This is when we talk about that long burn. So a really good way to kind of think about this is if you leave a pot on the stove for too long, you go away and all the water evaporates out of it and you've got a scorched, you know, bottom to your pot and your food's all burnt up. This is that dry, hot inflammation. And so it's really important to understand what kind of inflammation do you have, so that way you can select the herbs that you need for that. The other type of inflammation that's really common is like a wet, hot. This is like when I talk about how I'm like a swampy, damp, a really, really sexy adjectives.
Oh,
so
God,
what that
what
means, when you think, right? When you think about a swamp, what do you think of? Like stagnant,
moist
stagnant, dirty water, right? You do not want to be drinking swamp water.
I feel swampy too then sometimes.
Especially now, I feel like we've had more humidity in Oregon than normal. But when you're not focusing on your recovery properly, or you're not incorporating the proper herbs or recovery kind of plan, then you might continue to see these types of inflammation in your body and not understand why it keeps happening, right? So with this excess fluid and the stagnation, we had a fantastic episode on the lymphatic system, and the lymphatic system being the gutters in the body and how you have to kind of muck out all of that stuff. This is one of those things where if you've got that hot, wet, constantly inflammation, you'll want to focus on some of that. And so, you know, like Danielle said, the hypertrophy, or that weightlifting stage where you're growing and you're increasing the muscle within your body, is also when you're going to see some inflammation, because you need that. So putting an anti-inflammatory as a precursor for a workout, saying, I know I'm going to work hard, I'm going to take this anti-inflammatory, so that way I don't need to have some kind of strong recovery afterwards, or, you know, I don't have time for recovery, is not going to suit you well. Because if you stop the inflammation from happening in your body before it needs to, you're not going to be building those muscles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the inflammation is really that traffic cone in your body that signals to it like, hey, there needs to be some improvement and repair right here. Those things are needed. And so you don't want to time your anti-inflammatory before.
Yes.
You don't want to time your anti-inflammatory right after, especially if it's a strong one and it's not a supportive herb. So those are two things to really think about in the beginning, is what kind of inflammation do you have and when do you want to support that inflammation?
Yeah. Listening to the body, another common theme within our podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
And listening to it every day, because every day is going to be different. And that kind of leads into the little points that I'm going to make next is kind of the factors that can influence recovery, because these factors are literally always changing. And that's why in every single one of my classes or in a personal training session, I tell people to meet themselves where their body is today, not where it was yesterday, not where they want it to be, but where it is right now, because those factors that can influence you are sleep. I mean, think about the consistency of your sleep. If it's not extremely consistent, we've learned on this podcast that, you know, you may feel like you're always falling behind, like your rhythm is going to be off. So that may be influencing you on a daily basis. And then for other reasons as well, which I'll get into, mental fatigue and stress. You're having a really hard week at work. You're having a hard, you know, you're going through some personal things. That's going to influence you. I mean, there are times when that can influence you in a good way. I mean, think about those workouts you've had like post breakup or something, mm-hmm. where you can just like channel all of your anger and you're just like, ah! But a lot of times that mental fatigue and stress can be detrimental to your performance. Mm-hmm. Your nutrition, from one day to another. I mean, maybe you're on top of it, but maybe you have a really busy schedule. We've talked about this with Polly. You know, she's bouncing all over the place all the time. Mm-hmm. And sometimes she is eating in her car often, even if it's a healthy snack, she's still trying to like just mow it down in the middle of driving. Yeah. Well, or parking. I'm not going to say she's driving, but she's parked somewhere, mowing it down. And just trying to get it in as quickly as possible. But your nutrition is going to be always fluctuating. So it's going to affect you, your hydration, how much you're drinking from day to day, the frequency and the type of training that you're doing. Obviously, someone who's doing like a CrossFit style workout 5-6 days a week compared to maybe someone who's doing Tai Chi or even yoga or Pilates, like they both have such amazing strengths to them, but they're very different.
Right.
And they put different stresses on the body.
Absolutely.
So you couldn't look at the same person and expect the same type of recovery. Alcohol intake, take it or leave it, love it or hate it, but it's just the truth.
Right.
It's going to affect your performance and maybe not even in like the direct ways, but I'll get into that. And then, you know, warming up and cooling down, and are you making the time for that? Mm-hmm. So just to go back to that, you know, you really can't afford not to give your body a break. So with sleep, we talked about this with Shane actually as well. Sleep provides the time for your body to recover. I mean, it's that reset button. It's that, you know, everything's kind of shut down. So the most important things are getting the attention that it needs. So not only that, but when you reduce, when you don't have enough sleep, and usually people still hold on to about 8 hours. I mean, maybe it's not everyone feels like they need that, but somewhere in that range, you get a reduced production of a growth hormone, which is released when you're in this deep sleep stage. Mm-hmm. And this hormone, which comes from the pituitary gland, it stimulates tissue growth and muscle repair. So if you're not getting enough sleep, without stimulating tissue growth or muscle repair, one, this is when we go back to talking about those quote unquote gains that you're not getting. You're putting in so much effort, but you're not seeing the results that you want. Maybe check your sleep. Maybe you're missing that hormone that's going to help with that development, with that hypertrophy. Mm-hmm. But not just that, you have an increased risk of injury because you haven't given your muscles time to repair. Mm-hmm. But not just that, because of that direct implication, but if you aren't all there, you know, cognitively, if you can't focus because you have this consistent exhaustion and you're never, ever getting enough sleep, think about your decision-making processes. Mm-hmm. I mean, you may move just a second too late just because you're lagging a little bit behind in the brain because you're exhausted, and that increases your risk of injury.
Absolutely.
You have decreased balance. You have decreased postural awareness. I mean, think about when you're tired. You're definitely not sitting upright. You're not like sitting nice and proud. You're probably slunched over. Your shoulders are probably rotating internally. Your head may even be kind of moving forward.
Yeah,
turtle. Yeah. And this leads to poor technique. This leads to poor form, reaction time. Think about, you know, like if you are an athlete, or even if you're not, and you're just doing a workout that you need to react quickly, like a type of jump, or if you're doing some type of agility practice, mm-hmm. if you don't have that reaction time, you're going to risk either injuring yourself or just not performing the way that you want to. Mm-hmm. That mental fatigue, that high stress, it could decrease decreased endurance and cognitive performance. It's been shown to decrease running performance for those of you out there who are avid runners. It also makes you feel like you have an increased rate of perceived exertion. So your rate of perceived exertion, it's actually a scale of 1 to 10 that people have. And it's just how hard you feel something is, how much effort you think you're putting in.
Right.
So you may be feeling like you are giving it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's actually just because you have mental fatigue or you have some type of stress going on in the body. So maybe your cortisol levels are high, your testosterone levels are low because of that. And you're not being able to put out what you are perceiving that you are. You're just not really doing it. And then you have that risk of just overdoing it because it's like you're just – That cognitive connection, that mind-body connection is so important. And if you have that brain fog, then it's going to affect everything inside and outside of the gym. Really quick, your nutrition, it's going to be different for everyone. It's going to depend on how you're training, your type of training, the goals that you have. So if someone has a weight loss goal versus a building muscle mass goal or just maintaining, everything's going to look different for that person. But you know, just keeping in mind that this is kind of generic, but protein is the building block of muscle. Omega-3 fatty acids are great for anti-inflammatory effects as well. But those you kind of have to get from a dietary source. They're not made in the body like that, or at least not enough. Make sure you're hydrated. Because in almost every type of movement, you're losing some form of fluid and electrolytes. So water is involved in so many vital processes. So, you know, having that at its max, or not at its max per se, but just at proper levels, because I'm sure that I don't know what the statistics are, but I could guarantee that more people are underhydrated or dehydrated
Absolutely.
Than properly hydrated.
Absolutely.
I mean, I love water so much, and I feel like I'm just like, I guzzle it down, but sometimes I'm like, did I?
Yeah.
I don't know. I question it because I'll feel kind of dehydrated. And you know, it helps with muscle contraction. So again, if you're not able to activate, then you're not going to be able to adapt, and you're not going to be able to go into those gains. Also with hydration, you know, you may find sometimes that you're after a workout or something, you're craving sweet or salty food. And that could be because the loss of electrolytes.
Absolutely.
So if you're not rehydrating, if you're not giving back, replenishing in some way, mm-hmm. then you may start to crave something you normally wouldn't. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that could be a good indication of your hydration as well. And then, you know, other things, not necessarily going to get into detail about, I'll talk about cooling down a little bit later. But obviously that alcohol intake not just will affect you directly, but you probably are not going to get the same sleep. So we already know what sleep and recovery play a role into play with together. And then you may make poor eating habits during, after, you know, mm-hmm. I love chicken nuggets so much after I've had some drinks. They're like my kryptonite. I could have 50-100 of them. So all those little things that may not even be the direct alcohol within your body, but those choices you make afterwards, you probably aren't moving as much if you're hungover either. So,
right.
you know, all things to keep in mind if you have those goals and you want to, you know, stay the course.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. You know, I always used to refer to myself as clumsy, and for those who have seen me do any kind of sport, they would agree. And you know, after a while, I started realizing, you know, not to be so hard on myself, because I was a young single mom, literally raising, you know, my daughter was 6 months old when I started college on time. I was, you know, 18, 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So, young, first kid going through college, working full time. Yeah. I was fucking clumsy all the time. I didn't sleep at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like my coordination was atrocious. Just recently, maybe actually since the pandemic, I've probably gotten more sleep than normal. But my daughter's 12. So it's been a long,
yeah.
long road. And this is why it's so great. And this is why we talk about what we talk about, with herbs and with fitness, with, you know, that's why it's bands and botanicals, because it's so important to really see that there's natural ways to support your body and to move through it. You know, if you didn't get a lot of sleep one day, put some beets or some kale into a smoothie or eat it in the morning. It's going to help oxygenate your blood. It's going to help wake up your body and give you the energy you need.
Yes. And also, I think it's good that we're talking about these things as well, because you don't want to think that things are all your fault. Like, you know, oh, you're just a clumsy person. Oh, you just like have brain fog. No, you may just be exhausted because of life, and you just need to, you know, set things up a little differently, and then you'll feel better and everything will fall in line.
So, you know, we do not want to just focus on these buzzwords of anti-inflammatory, anti-spasmodic. If you're going to take anything away from the show, just take that away from it. When we're talking about the route to recovery, you know, you can name a bunch of different herbs. Pretty much every herb has some kind of recovery component to it. For instance, yarrow is great to help drain the excess fluid in your body and create more blood circulation. But if you have inflammation that's hot and dry, you do not want to use yarrow because you don't need that, right? Dandelion, it stirs old stagnation and fluid throughout the body. Fantastic if you have more of a hot, stagnant, wet inflammation. Not so great if you are already dehydrated most of the time. A lot of people use dandelion root specifically as kind of a de-bloat or a detox. But then they're in a chronic state of dehydration a lot of the time because they're not rehydrating their body. Unless you're already in like a damp, wet state and you actually need to get that excess fluid out of your body. So things to really consider. Another kind of buzzword with inflammation, and one of the herbs in particular, is turmeric, right? We've mentioned turmeric. It is fantastic. It's a great herb. It does help with anti-inflammatory things, but the herb doesn't pass through your gut. So when you're ingesting it and it's being digested, it stays in the gut, which means if you're trying to take turmeric for joint pain, it won't work properly. This is why it's really important to look at the root of your recovery. We talked about this in another podcast, and this is why I mention it a lot, of going back to those instances of just Danielle and I talking about some of these topics, when we talked about the affinity an herb has, that driver, that root that it would take in the body. What kind of recovery is it, you know, facilitating? For instance, I did a post recently talking about self-heal and how it's on my property all the time, and how you really need to pay attention to the herbs that keep popping up in your life, because maybe that means that it's one that you need to use, because self-heal is fantastic for lymphatic flushing. So I am a person that has more of a damp state. I need that additional support in my recovery. Now, mullein is one that actually is great for the flexibility of the spine when you're talking about movement. And there's a ton of mullein on Danielle's property, and her husband actually has back problems, which is kind of, you know, it's interesting when you start seeing that. I don't have a lot of mullein on my property, especially the kind that you have, which is the more broadleaf type. And so when you start looking at those things, it's really important to know how the herb is going to react within your body, where it's going to go. So those hot, dry, inflamed states, what does that really look like when I'm saying that? That's like osteoporosis. So when you get that grinding and that clicking, you know, or when you get a little bit older and you wake up in the morning and like everything in your body so kind of clicks and grinds and like, you know, and you're a little stiff. That's because you need more lubrication within your body. Lubrication is fantastic when you're talking about mobility and movement, when you're talking about recovery. So what's a good herb for that? Marshmallow root is one we've talked about a bunch of different times. It's especially if you do a cold infusion, which is just putting the marshmallow root in cold water, letting it sit for 12 to 24 hours. It's a full hydrator. It's almost like a natural Gatorade, because the viscosity of the water that happens helps to really do a whole hydrating process. Now, if you need that lubrication within your body and you then need support within your joints, put marshmallow root and Solomon seal together, because Solomon seal has an affinity for the joints. Now, this is all of what we're going to be talking about with the herb blending mini shop workshop that we're going to have during the kettlebell workout in July. So this is fantastic if you're in the area. If you want to get to know some of this stuff, you know, I don't have the capacity right now, and I'm kind of sick of Zoom, frankly, to do any kind of online courses. And so this is what we're offering. I want to meet people. I want to, you know, get them touching and feeling the herbs. But these are the things that you have to think about. If you still have that hot, dry, inflamed state, try incorporating seaweed, or some people do collagen or bone broth. You know, that's one of those things. Bone broth, everybody's like, oh, swears by it. Well, if you're already in a damp state, it's not necessarily the thing you particularly need for your recovery. Mm. You've already got that lubrication. So these are the things to really think about. Don't just think of these buzzwords and look at some of that stuff. So with that wet inflammation, when you're talking about the lymphatic system, we talked about self-heal is really fantastic for that. Yarrow is really great for that. Red clover is fantastic as well. So if you are
Jeff bought some.
Awesome. So if you need support within your hormones and other things like that, it's fantastic for the garden. It's fantastic for your body. It helps with flushing. And when you're talking about flushing, like that dandelion root that we talked about and some of those other things, you want something that has an affinity for the liver and protecting the liver in particularly. This is why herbs are so much more beneficial than pharmaceuticals, because when you go to get like a water pill, that water pill is going to do one thing. It's going to flush your body of water. Is it going to protect your liver? No. Mm. You know, these herbs have this whole kind of ecosystem within the way that they work within your body. And so dandelion root, yes, it brings the excess water up, but it also protects the liver at the same time. So it's really interesting. Plantain is fantastic for that. Milk thistle is great for your liver. So, you know, don't just flush those toxins out of your body. Make sure you're helping your liver as well, because your road to recovery is really important with those things.
Thanks, plants.
Yeah. So, you know, just as a recap, looking at the goals, if you're taking an herb, why are you taking it? What is the goal that it's supposed to be achieving? The actions that it should take on your body. If you're taking an herb and you're not sure, don't just focus on those buzzwords. Really get into the energetics of that herb. Is it a hot herb like ginger, mm-hmm. and you're a hot person? It might not be the herb for you, mm-hmm. right? And then just that supportive strategy, you know, dosing, timing those anti-inflammatories. All of those things, like in particular, one that's starting to pop up. I've had some fantastic questions from people that are listening to the podcast from different places. We have, I think, 25 different countries listening in. And I unfortunately don't ship to places like India and other things. So, but I am more than happy to help you with, you know, if it's salt palmetto or if it's something else that you're looking for to guide you in that right direction. So keep reaching out to me. But wild lettuce was one I got a question about recently. As an anti-inflammatory or something to help with recovery. Now, what I would say is that it is a fantastic pain reliever, especially if you have back pain and you have trouble sleeping because of chronic pain, but it is not an everyday anti-inflammatory to incorporate. This is something where if you really have chronic pain, if you have, you know, broken bones potentially, or something, like I said, where you can't sleep, because it's definitely great for recovery. It helps with that sleep cycle. For some people, it'll actually kind of almost knock you out a lot of the time. Taking that as a supplement, you don't want to take any kind of raw form of it because it is toxic. But the fascia within your body, like Danielle was mentioning before, those connective tissues that really affect recovery and mobility and all the things that we're working on. It's like the spanks in your body that hold everything together. Wild lettuce is fantastic for kind of working into those areas as well because of that sedative property that it has. So, and it also has compounds that act on the nervous system to kind of calm down and relax the body. So when you're trying to get that nice posture, when you're trying to work through those areas that are really, really tight, you're going to want that relaxation. Yes, but only in chronic states, you know, with chronic back pain or some of those things, the only time I would suggest incorporating it.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Nice. Wild lettuce.
Yeah.
And that's the name of it. It's not like, is it like miner's lettuce also? Is that something that's different?
Some people call it poor man's lettuce or like opium, poor man's opium or like, you know, all kinds of things. But yeah, just wild lettuce.
Got it. Got it. Nice. Well, you kind of had that little summarizing of things, and I'm going to kind of go in that same direction, follow foot as Paula. So I'm going to go with like the not as fun things, and I'm going to go with the fun things, or at least the really positive things that you could kind of take hold and do for yourself. So if you do not recover, and I cannot emphasize this enough, you do not need to work out every single day. You do not need to work out for hours on end. The majority of people aren't professional athletes, so you don't need to put in 2 hours at the gym or 5 hours at the gym. Just make that hour or that 45 minutes or even that 20 minutes that you're doing some movement intentional. And if that intensity is what you're looking for, bring it for that time. And then you'll be efficient enough. But only if you recover. Like we said in that first couple of minutes, that quote that I had found, those gains only happen when you create an environment for healing. So I want you to look at it like that. So the first thing I want you to do is switch your perspective from a recovery day being that you're not doing anything or that you're being lazy, and turn it and switch that dialogue into I'm creating an environment for healing. And maybe it'll help you want to have those recovery days because you know what it's doing for you. Because if you don't, and I finally come to my point, you will not be able to reach those goals, especially if you are overtraining. Your body doesn't have time to heal. We know that those micro tears won't be able to heal themselves. You won't be able to see those gains, and your body's not going to adapt. So what are you doing? Wasting some time. Mm-hmm. We talked about craving those sweet and salty foods. If you don't give your body what it needs to recover, being that water, thinking about, you know, especially like yesterday, I love working out outside. I mean, that's why I created my boot camps, because I love the gym, but I love being outside even more, and I find it inspiring. But I looked like I had jumped into a pool. I mean, it's hot here now, it's humid here now, and I was really aware of how much water I had lost. I had lost, and you need to be as well. Take that into consideration. It's not just like some trendy thing where you like walk around with your gallon water bottle. Like there's a reason behind it. You it's something to be taken seriously. So if you start to see that you crave those sweet and salty foods, you may have that electrolyte imbalance. So just keep that into consideration. Overtraining, we kind of just hit on it for a moment, but you're setting yourself up for disaster. You don't want to go into something really excited and with the best of intention and then quickly overtrain and your body starts to fall apart. I mean, when I was having to do Zoom workouts, I would tell Paula this all the time and like literally everyone, because I was always in pain.
Right.
Like, with those Zoom workouts, I felt like I needed to do the workout with them because they had to, you know, follow along with me. There was nothing that they could do. And I wanted to, because that was kind of my way to connect to them through the screen.
Right.
But my body literally felt like it was falling apart. Like every little thing started hurting and I knew it was from overtraining.
Right.
And I like could not, I felt like it was kind of beyond my control and I had to scale my own workouts back because of that. And I had to adapt. Mm-hmm. I did. I had to stop doing a lot of my own things just for that time being.
Yeah.
Because I knew that overtraining was going to lead to possibly worse injuries, mm-hmm. like a tear or a strain. It could impair your immune function. I mean, think about when you feel run down. Think about when you don't have sleep. It's the same with overtraining. You're overdoing it. You're overdoing the muscle. So then that immune function can be affected. Your hormones get messed up. You may have neurological changes. Like if you're in a constant state of pain or soreness or on that verge all the time, I would probably be more kind of pissed off all the time, mm-hmm. more irritable, like more anxious or agitated, because your body's not in a place of balance. Mm-hmm. But that's all the not good stuff. Ways that you can optimize your recovery. And these are simple things that you can do. And sometimes the simple things are the hard things. But this is that discipline you have to create for yourself. And I will say that I am in a state of also trying to create this discipline for myself. So I am not above anyone else, but this is just what we know what we need to do. So prioritize restorative movements. I think that's a really big deal. I mean, Paul and I recently had a hard workout, but the beginning of the workout was all mobility.
Right.
Like it wasn't the entire hour of high intensity. And even though it was part of our workout or part of our movement session, it was kind of nourishing and it was setting the body up for a really good thing. But restorative movements, that could be your stretching, that could be doing some yoga, something that's softer, going into longer holds. And you could, you know, you may need up to about 30 minutes, sometimes even more of recovery time. But I understand that if you dedicate about 45 minutes or an hour to your workout, it's hard to pack on another 30 minutes for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. We're trying to all fit it in. I am as well.
Right.
But it doesn't have to be, those 30 minutes don't have to be all at once. Mm-hmm. So if you wake up and you say, okay, I'm going to stretch for 5 minutes in the morning, especially after being laying down for an entire night, especially if you feel stiff in the morning and it gets you, takes you a moment to kind of like shake out of your body. Mm-hmm. 5 minutes there. Then maybe that midday when you know you've been sitting for a long time, you take 10 minutes in the midday. You take 5 minutes at the end of your workout because you have to get back to work or you have to go pick up your kid or you have to do this or that. And then 5 minutes at the end of the day. I'm not sure if that equaled 30. I really wasn't counting.
It's enough.
Quick math is not my forte, ask Jeff. But all I mean is that you could find those increments so that a 30-minute stress session doesn't have to feel like this overwhelming other thing you have on your to-do list. Mm-hmm. Like, break it up, make them short, but like I said, make them intentional and make them effective. I say this all the time, but you're giving back what you took from it. You demand a lot from your body, so you have to give back to it. Controversial. Take one complete day off per week. People hate that. But do it. I mean, honestly, you don't need to work out like every moment of your life. Mm-hmm. Like, live your life. I mean, that's part of it too. Mm-hmm. You don't want this to become a chore. I love working out so freaking much, but I like to also do other things.
Yeah.
And if you want to do this forever, then you need to heal and you need to find time to do other things.
Right.
So take that day off for yourself and don't feel bad about it. Just kill it the next day. Whole foods, fiber-rich foods, colorful veggies, healthy fats, you know, avocado and coconut oil, enough protein. Like, one of my favorite meals to have is when it's like every color.
Right.
Like, that's usually how I make my salads. I throw some berries in there for some color, and then I'll have like every color of vegetable, and I even try to pick my vegetables to be different colors. You know, look for that. Make your plate a rainbow. Make it beautiful and whole and delicious, and it's going to nourish you and it's going to support you. We talked about hydration, but just emphasizing it one more time, that's a way to prioritize and optimize your muscle recovery. And even some foam rolling. So a lot of people are familiar with foam rolling, but I would say that not everyone performs it exactly correctly. And maybe you're just not doing it the right moves at the right time. Mm-hmm. So what I mean by that is Paula was just talking about the fascia. So it's that kind of almost like netting, or like you said, like the Spanx of our body. They kind of hold everything in, but they could get tight. So you will have, if you don't work that fascia, you'll have decreased joint range of motion. This could inhibit your performance. Mm-hmm. And you may feel like really tight and stiff. And you'll get more DOMS. You'll get more delayed onset muscle soreness. So no one wants that because, I mean, no one wants that. So if you do foam roll, it's going to stimulate autogenic inhibition and the Golgi organ tendon. So basically what that means is it's going to override the want for your body to be really tight, and it's going to move into a more relaxed state. But it takes some time to get there. You can't do it for 10 seconds. You want to do it for at least 30 seconds in order to go into the kind of that override, that manual override for yourself, mm-hmm. I guess you could say. And you could do foam rolling before a workout, or you could do foam rolling after a workout, but just like your warm-up and your cool-down are different, so is the way that you'll foam roll. So if you're in a warm-up before your workout, you're not holding stretches. Mm-hmm. That's going to actually decrease your performance because you're going to be too loose.
Right.
It's the same with foam rolling, so you're not trying to hold on one area so that it gets really, really loose, because it may decrease your performance. So just like your warm-up, you want to make it more dynamic. So a dynamic warm-up is, instead of, you know, holding a forward fold, which is going to stretch the back of the legs, you're doing bridges, so you're activating the back of the legs. Mm-hmm. So just like with foam rolling, is you want to actually be, this is where you actually get in the rolling of it. So you're moving and bringing blood to the muscles, and you're moving those fluids around, and you're being more active in that process. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, just like in a cool down, when you hold things, when you slow things down, when you feel that stretch, or, you know, most people, as we all know, it's stretching, commonly known as, you want to hold on to that part of your body that is particularly tender. You don't want it to be to the point where you're making yourself sick. That's not what you're ever trying to do, but just a point of tenderness. And you're just trying to hold on to that area, like I said, for about 30 seconds or so, so that you could go into that override. And so, you know, a good way to remember that is just to have that comparison to a warm up and a cool down, like you would do in your workouts. And that's kind of all I have for you guys. I mean, we could go, I know Paula could probably talk for 12 more years about herbs and recovery and energetics. I know that I could probably even go into more about recovery, but I think this is going to set you up to really get started and to try to, you know, prioritize both aspects of body support.
Yeah. One of the things you mentioned with that wrap up was the fat and incorporating those fats. When we talk about lubrication, which is a big component of recovery and mobility, you know, that's where that's coming from in your diet. That's the omegas from your fish that you're eating, mm-hmm. your avocado. And that's why we saw such a big increase. Yeah, in, you know, the 80s and 90s when people demonized fats for so long, because then there was this chronic inflammation and this lack of lubrication within the body. And so when you start, say, a keto diet or something else, you're incorporating that fat and you might feel amazing, yes, because maybe you're losing a little weight from lack of carbs, but it's really that fat component that's making you feel so great.
And you're being able to move and absorb vitamins through the body more. I mean, yeah. There are a lot of fat soluble vitamins Absolutely. That need it in order to be processed by the body.
Yeah.
So don't demonize fat. You know, this kind of, before we wrap up, this just brings me back to like labeling things as good or bad.
Right.
We talked about this, I think, in one of our really yeah. early episodes with someone, like, oh, I am bad for this, or this is bad, or this workout is punishment, or this food is bad right. food, mm-hmm. and this is good food, and this is reward food, and this is, you know, like right. it's that same idea. It's not demonizing anything. We talk about balance here. We talk about just listening to the body and just taking it step by step.
Yeah. Don't judge a book by its cover, whether it's labels on herbs or food.
Yeah, for sure. And with that, we have survived a podcast recording without a puppy interruption. So before that happens, we are going to let you go. And I hope you have a beautiful rest of your day.
See you guys.
Peace and love.
And just as a reminder, any ideas or topics discussed during this podcast should not be a replacement for any type of medical advice. Although Danielle is a certified trainer and I have a knowledge of herbal medicine, any decision to incorporate an exercise or herbal remedy is always your own.